and welcome to this week's edition of the KMXT Weekly Wrap, where we go over this week's news from Alaska's Emerald Isle. I'm your host, Brian Fenwall. In this week's recap, we hear about a remote adult sobriety camp on a Fognak Island.
As soon as I leave Antones and start coming this way, my heart starts going pitter-patter because I know I'm going to a land of where our beginnings are from.
That's coming up.
KMXT is supported in part by the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center, providing support for victims of domestic and or sexual violence. 907-486-6171.
But first, Kodiak Mayor Pat Branson announced on Monday that she's retiring from public service after holding local elected offices for nearly 30 years. KMXT's Davis Hovey reports.
Branson has been the mayor for the last 14 years, and her final term concludes at the end of October. In a press release, Branson said she would continue to advocate for Kodiak after her term ends and says she has no plans on leaving the island. During her tenure as mayor, the city has almost finished a brand new fire station, overhauled its indoor hockey rink and recreation facility, and embarked on a new housing project with Rural Cap. Branson's retirement also means that so far, Alan Seal is currently an uncontested candidate for the next two-year term as mayor. Interested candidates have until August 15th to file paperwork to the city to run for any of the open seats in this year's municipal election. Two city council seats and two Kodiak Island Borough Assembly seats will also be on the ballot. Incumbent city councilmember John Whidden told the Kodiak Daily Mirror that he also won't seek re-election. And incumbent city councilmember Charlie Davidson told KMXT today he is still deciding whether or not to seek re-election. He's served on the council off and on since 1993. Jay Chelly, an employee with Highmark Marine Fabrication, is running for a city council seat. He ran last year as well and lost by about 80 votes behind Councilmember Rich Walker. Voters can select two candidates for the council, and the top two vote-getters will win seats. And as for the Kodiak Island Borough, the race for borough mayor will be contested. So far, it's between the incumbent Scott Arndt and Assemblymember Jared Griffin. For transparency, Griffin is the general manager of KMXT Radio. He does not have any editorial influence over news stories, and he did not review the story before it was published. Griffin says he plans to vacate his assembly seat once he officially files his paperwork to run for mayor. So far, no one has filed paperwork or announced a candidacy for Griffin's assembly seat or incumbent Larry Ledoux's. Candidates who miss the August 15th filing deadline can still run as a write-in. This year's municipal election is on October 7th. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
And while we're on local news, the Trump administration froze billions of dollars in education funding last month and put Kodiak's sole general education development, or GED, program in limbo. Then in late July, the administration said it was releasing most, but not all of that money. KMXT has this report on what it means for Kodiak College's programs. Kodiak College will run its adult education program at full capacity this upcoming school year. That's the island community's sole program for high school equivalency for adults. One full-time person and a few other part-time positions help up to 20 students a year. Jaselyn Keyes, the college's director, says it's a huge relief for her staff and students.
That was a month and a couple of days of, oh my gosh, not sure what we're going to do.
About $151,000 for the adult education program was part of a $6.8 billion federal education funding freeze that left both the college and Kodiak Public Schools reeling. In late July, the Trump administration said it would release $5 billion of the money it froze. But another $469,000 for the College Advisory Migrant Program, or the CAMP grant, on the other hand, is still frozen. Keyes says Congress is working on appropriating money for the program for next year, but there's been no word from the U.S. Office of Management and Budget about this year's funding.
We still wait to hear if that money is going to be released from OMB for this year, or if there's going to be a gap year.
The CAMP grant funds first-year scholarships and other resources like tutors for students that might leave for work, like for fishing. The program's director is now waiting to see if her position will still be funded. Keyes says she went to Washington, D.C. on her own dime to advocate directly to federal officials about why these programs are important.
I definitely was one voice of many, a sea of voices, asking for that release. And yes, I did go to D.C. and a personal capacity, not as the college director, but as someone who cares about Alaska and education.
And Keyes is back in Kodiak now, but she says she's still pressing for the government to release the rest of the frozen funds.
This is something I believe very strongly in, or I would have gone corporate at some point in time, or started a business or something of that nature. But I believe in the work that we do in education.
Classes at the college start on August 25th. And looking at Kodiak's public schools, they'll have a little bit more financial breathing room this upcoming school year. That's after a tumultuous summer for education funding. And KMXT has this report that school administrators are still cautious. The federal government froze billions of dollars in education funding earlier this summer, including money for schools in Alaska. And on top of that, Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy slashed education funding that had been approved by state lawmakers this spring. But now, both pools of money have been restored. Kodiak Island Borough School District Superintendent Cindy Mika says it's a start.
It doesn't stabilize us. We're still going to have really hard budget discussions with the board, and the board's going to have hard decisions ahead of them. But it helps. It gives us a little bit of breathing room.
But that breathing room comes after the district already faced an $8 million deficit due to years of flat funding from the state. Kodiak School District took some drastic measures to balance its budget this year. Its board voted to close a school, as well as drain the reserves. That was before Dunleavy vetoed part of a legislature-approved education funding increase. Then the federal government's funding freezes came in.
We ran on a steep dive roller coaster, and then we went through a few loop-de-loops. And now we're coming out of the loop-de-loops.
The Alaska legislature overturned the governor's vetoes to increase education funding twice. The first time during the legislative session in May, and again in a special session over the weekend. Mika says she's grateful for the elected officials that support boosting education funding.
It's about the kids, and they're standing behind public education.
The federal government released billions in education grants a few weeks after freezing the funds, including about $1.5 million headed to Kodiak schools. The superintendent says the relief is great, but all the changes leave the district in a difficult spot as she plans for next year's budget.
But we don't know what's next. Is it going to be a corkscrew? Is it going to be just a steady flat to the end of the year?
And even though the school district will receive nearly the same amount of federal money from year to year, it's appropriated differently. The district will have $40,000 more to work with migrant students. That includes kids from fishing families who may travel during the summer or during the school year. But other programs like the free and reduced lunch program, professional development for teachers, and English language learning programs are all receiving less money this year. Mika says the district needs every dollar it can get right now.
I think we're just going to stay on this roller coaster for a while, and we're just going to have to, the district's going to have to be ready to pivot with the federal funds.
The White House submitted a discretionary budget request in May that would cut about $4.5 billion in education funding. The federal fiscal year starts October 1st. But for now, Mika's easing out of a hiring freeze and gearing up for the upcoming school year, which in Kodiak starts September 2nd. And archaeologists have determined the age of some of the oldest artifacts found around the Kodiak Archipelago. That means human settlement of the area likely dates back much earlier than previously thought. The Aleutic Museum in Kodiak has multiple archaeological sites around Karlik Lake and River on the south side of the island. A team excavating those sites has found tools that likely date back about 7,800 years, about 300 years older than the previous oldest artifacts. Molly Adele is the museum's director of archaeology.
Small campsite near Karlik River where it flows out from Karlik Lake, and what we found that dates to about 7,800 years ago is a small hearth, so just less than a foot in diameter.
The age of the newly found artifacts means it's possible ancient Aleutic ancestors settled in the area close to when others settled on the Kenai Peninsula.
There are what are interpreted as ancestral Aleutic sites that are this age, 7,700 or 7,800 from the Kachemak Bay area. And so, you know, it is very reasonable to assume that ancestors of the Aleutic people were also in Kodiak around that time.
The results come from carbon dating charcoal from a hearth and tools at the site. Radioactivity from the biological material can tell archaeologists about when the tree the charcoal came from died. She says they found a few other artifacts in the same area too, like a stone blade. Adele says she expects there could be similar sites and artifacts there that have yet to be discovered.
We've known for a long time that there could be older stuff that just hasn't been found or hasn't been radiocarbon dated yet. So I think it's important to keep in mind that there almost certainly are other sites of this age or perhaps even older that just haven't been documented yet.
But finding them could be tricky.
We actually didn't know we were going to find such old material there because those sites that are over 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 years old, they're usually deeply buried, and sometimes they can be underneath more recent sites.
The Aleutic Museum's archaeology team has been working in the area for about the last 6 years. Adele says museum staff will likely keep studying the area for years to come as well. And our last story for today, every summer for the past 3 decades, culture camps have been held in a remote forested landscape on a Fognak Island on the northern end of the Kodiak Archipelago. Better known for summer youth camps, this month, the island hosted the inaugural Adult Sobriety Camp. KMXT's Davis Hovey has this report.
The namesake settlement of the native village of Afognak, a federally recognized tribe, was devastated by the 1964 Good Friday earthquake and tsunami. Today, Afognak Island, also known as Aquanuk in Aleutic, has no permanent residents. But in the summer, the tribe brings people to the island by boat, bridging past and present through cultural summer camps. 55-year-old Mike Olson regularly transports people to Afognak Island on his 18-foot skiff. He's a tribal member, too young to have grown up in the village, but his great-grandparents had a house there. He remembers visiting the old village site as a kid with his family.
As soon as I leave Antones and start coming this way, my heart starts going pitter-patter because I know I'm going to a land of where our beginnings are from.
Today, the tribal administrator, Candace Branson, helps organize annual camps on the island for tribal members and other Aleutic Sukpiat people. The tribe's campsite has several cabins overlooking a small lake in the forest just feet away from the beach. Branson says the Afognak Native Corporation gifted the property to the tribe.
Well, I think this plot of land, because surrounding us to that way is archaeology sites, and this was Dig Afognak.
So yes.
We did used to dig here.
Now, instead of an active archaeological site, it's a one-of-a-kind summer camp that includes a banya, a zip line, and most importantly, a connection to living Aleutic culture. During the last camp of the season, adult campers spent time processing a deer, braiding seal intestine, and carving soapstone into seal oil lamps, or nanik. Making a lamp requires lots of scraping, elbow grease, and time. But Branson says afterwards, the campers leave with a physical piece of culture to pass down and the cultural knowledge of how and when to use it.
We talk about lighting it in meditation, lighting it at ceremonies, at holidays, at gatherings, making sure to teach each other how to light and tend a lamp. It's something that our generations haven't done in generations, mm-hmm. have not done and haven't practiced.
These newly carved lamps are unique and different from the traditional seal oil lamp that has been used at the Afognak summer camps for years and is housed in the center of a special yurt. During the sobriety camp, several participants shared their experiences of generational trauma and their struggles with substance use inside the yurt. The 5-day camp included regular Al-Anon meetings, talking circles, as well as healing and recovery opportunities through self-expression activities, like making identity boards. Elder and master sewer Susan Malutin says an identity board is a way to visibly represent who you are in the same way traditional tattoos do.
And even today, people, young people too, put tattoos on themselves that identify with certain people, with certain experiences, and all that has meaning for them as it did our ancestors. With their tattoos for dancing, for ceremonies. So that's the same principle. This belongs to you. This is yours. This helps you identify who you are.
Olson, the boat driver and tribal member, did not participate in this sobriety camp, but he welcomes the new offering and says you can't put a price tag on its value.
I think the sobriety camp addition is a beautiful thing. It's an emotional part for me, because I unfortunately had a sister that passed on because of addictions.
This summer's sobriety camp had roughly 20 people participate. Branson says their registration fees were covered by Kodiak Area Native Association. The sobriety camp wrapped up August 5th and was the island's last one for the season. Camps will resume next summer. Reporting on Afognak Island, I'm Davis Hovey.
The Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center is committed to offering safe shelter and resources to victims and their children fleeing domestic violence and/or sexual assault, including the use of a 24-hour crisis line. KWRCC is open to individuals of any gender who need anonymous support from a trained advocate.
The crisis line is available at 907-486-3625.
If you enjoy this podcast, make sure to subscribe to us on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. Our staff put together KMXT stories every week to help you keep up to date on the archipelago's latest news. That's just about it for this week's edition of the KMXT Weekly Wrap. Again, I'm your host, Brian Benoit. We'll be back next week. Thanks for tuning in.